Tennessean beat writer Adam Vinken joins us right now. And Adam, for the last couple segments, we've been talking about, you know, potential moves that the Preds could be making or may not be making with some news that came out this weekend. Have you been surprised the Preds haven't done anything since the expansion draft when they lost James Neal?
No, because these things take time. Remember that last year, the genesis of the PK Subban-Shea Weber trade originated at the NHL draft in Buffalo in conversations between David Poile and Mark Bergevin. So I think a lot of people saw the moves that were made during the morning of the draft that Chicago made, trading Nicholas Jalmerson to the Arizona Coyotes and then reacquiring Brandon Saad for Artemi Panarin, and thought that there were going to be some fireworks. They were pretty tepid overall over the course of draft weekend. There were some big trades, Travis Hamonic going to the New York Islanders, from the New York Islanders to the Calgary Flames. And there were some trades before the expansion draft and right after the expansion draft. But, yeah, these things take time. It's not going to be a quick fix. And David Poile said on Saturday that he probably touched base with everybody around the league in terms of his colleagues at the NHL draft and came away with some hope that maybe something could materialize. But yes, I would not say that the fact that something hasn't happened now doesn't mean that something's not going to happen eventually.
Well, and right now it looks a little less likely that Matt Duchene would be an option for the Preds. I mean, as long as the Preds are unwilling to give up one of their top four defensemen, it doesn't sound like Colorado would be willing to accept any sort of deal for their center Matt Duchene. So where do you stand on that with Duchene and what the trade market looks like if Poile doesn't dive into free agency?
Well, I look at that Matt Duchene situation as poor asset management by Colorado general manager Joe Sakic. He held tough during the trade deadline. He didn't find an offer that suited him, so he held on to Matt Duchene. And it seems like that's what's been going on recently, too. That he hasn't liked the offers that teams have been giving him for Matt Duchene. At least that's what he said to Denver-based reporters during the NHL draft. Now, he's sort of doing himself a disservice here because the more he talks like this, the more people are going to be balking at his asking price, and he's not going to get what he wants. So it actually works better for teams that want him, in my opinion, because he might have to settle for less to take Matt Duchene. Now, I purposely asked David Poile on Saturday afternoon about, you know, people asking about his defense, because I wanted it to be clear to people who've been clamoring for the Predators to trade a defenseman for Matt Duchene to stop clamoring for them to trade a defenseman for Matt Duchene. David Poile is not interested in touching his top four defense, and he shouldn't be, because the Predators have reached a point, in my personal opinion, that they can no longer touch their top four defense without making it worse. They could afford to trade Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson because Seth Jones was a fifth defenseman on this team. They could trade PK Subban for Shea Weber because they were swapping players who played the same position. They're going to get worse if they trade Ryan Ellis or Matthias Ekholm or something like that. I don't think they should trade either of those players. I think that the defense is what made this team run. It's what got them to the Stanley Cup final, and they shouldn't move away from that. So to answer your other question, I look at the free agent market center-wise, and there's some okay players in there. I mean, of course, one that stands out is Joe Thornton, who has long, you know, been a member of the San Jose Sharks. He'll be 38 this weekend, I believe, and he's looking for a three-year deal, reportedly. I'm not sure the San Jose Sharks are willing to do that, so you wonder if you were able to get him for a couple of years. But he would be, if he were to come to Nashville, he would be the oldest player on this team immediately, and he's also coming off major reconstructive knee surgery, but he is a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, and a great playmaker even at his advanced age. But other players out there, Nick Bonino, who just won another Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins, is another option, even though he got hurt against the Predators in the Stanley Cup final. So there are options on the free agent market. It all boils down to what happens with Mike Fisher. I mean, they're going to need money to re-sign him if he decides not to retire. If he does retire, they do have some more money to play with.
Adam, do you how would you evaluate the need in free agency compared to taking care of your own and making sure that you've got enough money to sign some of these young guys and to keep them as a part of the program?
I think the Predators are confident with the depth that they have, because remember, this team nearly tied the NHL record for most players who scored a goal in the playoffs. And think about the types of players that they were getting contributions from. It wasn't just Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Johansson before he was injured. It was Pontus Auberg and Kevin Fiala before he got hurt, and Freddie Gaudreau. And two of those players, Auberg and Gaudreau, are pending restricted free agents. So with James Neal off of the roster, they have currently right now roughly $22.7 million in salary cap space. Now, I would devote at least $10 million total to re-signing Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson. So that leaves 12.7 if we're saying 10. And let's say Mike Fisher comes back. That's probably another 4, so that's 8.7. Then you have to re-sign Austin Watson and Pontus Auberg and Freddie Gaudreau as well. So then you have maybe $3.7 million to play with. So, you probably can't get a super high-impact free agent with that much money, but you could go out and get somebody that could help. One player that I look at on the free agent market, and this is just me talking, this isn't any sort of speculation, one player that stands out to me on the free agent market that I think could be a good fit for this club is Justin Williams, veteran winger, playing the last several seasons with the Washington Capitals, scored 24 goals last year. He is in his 30s, so he is an older player, but he's been very durable. He doesn't miss many games. He won a Stanley Cup with Pierre Laviolette in Carolina, and he's that kind of really good glue, bottom six veteran type forward, and he can play second line right wing on this team. He can ostensibly replace James Neal. He actually scored more goals than James Neal did last year. So when I look at the free agent market, he's a guy that I think could be a good fit for this team if they decide to sign him.
Adam Vingan of the Tennessean is with us talking Preds on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Adam, do you feel like David Poile would be comfortable going into the October 5th opener against Boston with the roster he currently has?
I think, again, it really depends on Mike Fisher. I think if Mike Fisher decides not to retire and re-sign, I think if you went into that game with Ryan Johansson, Mike Fisher, Cale Yarncroke, and Colton Sissons as your four centers, I think David Poile might be okay with that. I think if Mike Fisher retires, they do need to find another center. I don't think that they can go into the season hoping to plug that hole from within, because they're also letting go of Vernon Fiddler. He will not be coming back. Wing-wise, I think they could be okay. I think the way that Kevin Fiala was playing near the end of the regular season and during the playoffs before he got hurt, I think he's got 15 to 20 goal potential. I think Pontus Auberg has 15 to 20 goal potential. You hope that Craig Smith has a bounce-back season after his pretty nightmarish season this year. You always hope that Colin Wilson can reach his potential. I think on the wing, they would be okay. I think if Mike Fisher were to retire, they would definitely need to address the center depth.
Adam, even though it'll be a little bit of time before we can really evaluate, what was your gut impression with the draft?
Well, it's interesting, Floyd, because with the NHL draft, unlike the NFL draft, you watch a lot of college football. You have understandings of who these guys are and what programs they played for, and you can watch them regularly. And same thing with the NBA draft, too. The NHL draft is really hard for those of us who don't follow junior hockey or Finnish league hockey or Swedish hockey, just because we don't really know who these guys are. Now, their number one draft pick, Eli Tolvanen, who was number 30 on Friday, I think a lot of people expected him to go higher than he actually did. And when you're a top draft pick who slides a little bit, you can see it both ways. The Predators are happy that they got a player who, they did not expect to be there at 30. But why did he slip to 30 in the first place? I think he's a really good player. He scored 30 goals in the U.S. HL last year. He led the league in shots. I feel like there's some Victor Arvidsson in this kid. But the thing with hockey prospects is, unless you're a super generational talent like a Connor McDavid or a Jack Eichel or an Austin Matthews, you're not going to make an impact as a teenager. I think those who want to see what Eli Tolvanen is all about, you're going to have to keep watching him play minor league hockey or junior league hockey for the next couple of years, because I don't think he's anywhere near ready to be an NHL player.
Or at development camp this week at Centennial
Sportsplex.
Or at
development camp this week. Yeah.
where you just were. Adam, we appreciate you joining us today talking Preds, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Vinkin does a phenomenal job for the Tennessean covering the Nashville Predators.